Matthew 22:37. Keith, you're on. And the longer one, you want to do this one, Keith? Right. Matthew 25:31-46. Okay, it's 9 o'clock. They're late. Okay, so we're going to start. I'm going to begin with a song by, where's her tape? Here it is. So, where's my little band today? They're all, no one's here. What does that say?
I think a lot of them went to the earlier class from art room.
Oh, did they?
Uh-huh.
Well, cool.
We're leaving today.
They used to be filled, and I've sent them away. I got really worked up the first time through, so I didn't even read the children's books because I really got revved up. Hi, Martha.
Will you come in?
There's a lot. I mean, I have to blow my wad because this is the last time. So we're going to read a lot of scripture, and we're going to listen to music, and we're going to have some fun. And I got really worked up, so who knows what will happen now. So let's pray. Dear God, I thank you for Holden Village. I thank you for its willingness to talk about hard issues. I thank you for this day. I thank you for my brothers and sisters in Christ who have lost their families and their churches and their friends because they told the truth. I pray that you would be with us today and that you would have your spirit speak in and through these scriptures. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. Libby Roderick is going to sing the opening song. Libby is a prophet who lives down here, right?
I know.
And is a prophet who lives in Alaska. And I don't know if she's a Christian. She doesn't say so on her album covers. They're not albums anymore. They're discs. She doesn't say so on her tapes or discs. I think she is, because what she talks about is just prophetic. The first one talks about Rosa Parks. And the part in it says, Rosa is calling to us. Don't you take the back of no bus. And, you know, this whole issue about homosexuality, for me, who gets to be in the center of the whole issue, never wanted to do that, but here I am, I take my strength from Sojourner Truth. I take my strength from Rosa Parks. I take my strength from Martin Luther King Jr. And what just totally upsets me is when people say to me, don't compare the gay issue to the black struggle. Oh. He gave me Whoppers the other night when I was playing bowling with my son and losing, and he thought Whoppers might help. It's very sensitive. Yeah, that's in Matthew 25. Give Whoppers when she's blowing it. You know, this book, the Bible, that you and I love, that I've studied for years and years, and I know the Greek and I know the Hebrew, and I can play Bible bingo too. So when they start playing Bible bingo with me on this passage, I play for a while and then I say, you know what? I don't want to argue. It's just really not going to help anybody here. But this book has been used to say to slaves, you stay in your place. It says so right here in the Bible.
That's right.
And this book has been used to say, women, you're under the headship of the man and you probably shouldn't vote. And this book, Hitler used this book. And he preached to the German church and they believed him. This book has been used to say so many ugly things. So don't you believe what the religious right's telling you about this book and homosexuality. Because this book has been used to say some very awful, sick, mean things. So I'm going to give you some ammunition this morning to say back. But you know what? Here's the bottom line. It doesn't really matter what you say because they don't want to listen. I went to a very fancy gathering of well-dressed gay and lesbian people in Seattle. And I was only there because I'd spoken at the legislature, and they thought I was someone important. And I caused a big stir in the legislature because I told my story. But at this thing, a woman walked in. Oh, her name, I've lost it. Great writer. Where's Connie when I need her? Where is she?
She's on the way.
But what's the name of that woman who is a lesbian writer from the South? Very beautiful, very articulate. Something great. Rita Mae Brown. Rita Mae Brown came to this gathering along with Marguerite Cannemeyer. And Marguerite Cannemeyer, I have to tell you, was the personality there. And she had heard there was someone in the group who had lost their children and was fighting for their rights, her rights to have her children. And she found me, Marguerite Cannemeyer. And she said, "Are you Catherine?" "Yes." "Do you have your children?" "No, I don't have my children!" And Marguerite just said, "Maybe we could talk." And Marguerite, she was so gracious. She stood, I mean, here were people all around in this amazing home, and she's just took 20 minutes and she looked at me and she said, "You're not going to lose your kids. Call them every day. Pay every penny you can pay to their father. Love them and be kind to everyone you meet." She said, "You're not going to lose them." And I mean, for 2 years, I just clung to that. I called them every morning at 7:30 without fail, 2 years, and I did what she said. But Rita Mae Brown said this. Rita Mae is about this big, gorgeous, teeny weeny, all those things you say that lesbians are not. Just weeny. And smart as a whip. And she said, "Gay and lesbian brothers and sisters, I have one thing to say to you. I want you to elegantly kick butt." Because she said, unfortunately, the religious right has no scruples. They will try every trick in the book. So we have to be smart, but elegant as we do it. I thought that was an amazing benediction to the group of people. I'm going to play Libby, and this is the voice I want you to listen for today, Rosa Parks. Because in Rosa's church, someone was saying to her, "Rosa, just calm down about the issue. You shouldn't get upset about it. You know, you have enough to eat, it's gonna be okay. Just don't make a scene, Rosa." Didn't someone in the church tell Rosa that? Yeah. Didn't someone tell me that? Yeah. What did Rosa do? She read this long enough where she said, "I can't take it anymore." And she sat down. "I have as much right to sit on the bus as you do." And she changed the world. She didn't preach like Martin Luther King. She just sat down. So you find the place you get to make a stand in your life. Because she's calling to us. You won't get all the words, but you'll get enough.
with what are you talking
about? Oh, aren't you lovely? Thank you. I am going to talk about this. Let's read the scripture. Isaiah 6, 5 to 8. Who has that? Great. Thanks, Woody. Real loud.
And I said, woe is me, for I am lost. For I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphim to me, having in his hand a burning coal, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin forgiven. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then I said, here am I, send me.
And Isaiah said, here am I, send me. Amos 5:24.
But let justice roll down like waters, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream.
One more time.
But let justice roll down like waters, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream.
People will tell you, keep politics out of the church. Read it again, please.
But let justice roll down like waters, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream.
If you've read the Bible, you've read the Old Testament. And the Old Testament is primarily the prophets. And the prophets say that one thing in hundreds of different ways in different colors. Let justice roll down like waters. Don't go to Bible studies and do nothing. You got to do something. Because James tells us faith without works is dead. Dead. A corpse. Matthew 22:37. Who has that? Okay, Keith.
And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind.
And the next phrase.
Oh. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets.
In the Bible, you can take the whole Bible, and I teach this course called Bonehead Bible, which is where I walk you through the Bible and I put little ribbons in it. I started this for my youth group, and the adults in the church said, why don't we
get any ribbons for our Bible?
Do you want some ribbons?
Yeah, we want some ribbons too.
So I've made ribbons and I've made a videotape, and so you too can get Bonehead Bible. But, oh, just love adults whining.
Can't we go on mission trips?
Is anything stopping you?
Well, no.
Well, then you can go on mission trips.
Okay, thank you.
So now my church in California has adult mission projects.
Okay, thank you.
Anyway, the ribbons of the Bible, the big one is called Big Red. And this is the most important part in the Bible. This is Matthew 5, 6, and 7. It's the Sermon on the Mount. It's Jesus' doctoral thesis. If you have a question, you want an answer, go to Matthew 5, 6, or 7. You want the bottom line, you want the heart of the gospel, you want what it really is talking about, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. That's too long, you want one verse? Okay, fine. Matthew 22:37. You want an answer about homosexuality? Okay, Matthew 22:37. Well, it says in 2 Hesitations 14:72 that you know how nasty homosexuals are. It also says slaves should stay in their place. It also says women shouldn't speak in the church. I've been through this once. I went through this 15 years ago when I was a student at Seattle Pacific. Come in.
You show me where it says in this Bible that a woman can preach.
And here I am again. Here I am again, same passages 15 years later. Do you want the Greek or the Hebrew?
English, please.
Matthew 22:37, Jesus said, love God with all your heart and soul and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Codependence, you gotta love yourself. Women in church, you gotta love yourself. You have your doctorates in codependency, women in church. Men can clean the kitchen too. Straight people, homosexuals are your neighbors. Gay people, straight people are your neighbors. Blacks are, green people, orange people, Native Americans. You know, we can play Bible bingo until the cows come home. Kind of funny, isn't it, Kevin? But this is the answer to the question. But here's what I've learned, unfortunately. They don't want to listen. So you listen to them because we're the Christians. And we care and we listen and we validate. And then we say, you know, Jesus said to love God with your heart and soul, mind, and love your neighbors yourself. It's funny. In my life, the church is the place I get the most trouble. In Connie's business, when I go dressed up as her corporate wife, I like the role, thank you. It's just fine. I'll stay in those nice hotels. That's no problem with me. They love me. It's okay in the business community. It's not okay in the church. What's wrong with this picture? I thought we were supposed to be the salt and the light. By golly. So, when you go home and your friend who's rabid over homosexuality, for what reason, I don't know. Because we were taught homophobia. I fight it every day of my life. I couldn't say the L word for several weeks. Ask Connie today, what is the L word? Because I couldn't even say lesbian. And I couldn't say I was one. Because I was raised homophobic, just like you. I was. So I'm getting better. I'm less codependent. I'm less homophobic. I'm still working on it. And I hope you are too. When I was ordained, Ron Fraze from Whitworth College, the chaplain, read this passage. It is Jesus' swan song. Okay, Jesus, who's going to heaven? I want to know, who's going to heaven? And the vacuum started, and Jesus said, Matthew 25:31-46. Who has it?
When the Son of Man comes in...
Louder, Keith.
When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate them one from another as a shepherd separates sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep at his right hand, but the goats at the left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, come, O blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see thee hungry, and feed thee, or thirsty, and give thee drink? And when did we see thee a stranger, and welcome thee, or naked, and clothed thee? And when did we see thee sick or in prison and visit thee? And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me. Then he will say to those at his left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you did not welcome me, naked and you did not clothe me, sick and in prison and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer, Lord, when did we see thee hungry or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister to thee? Then he will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not to me. And they will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life.
The Christians that I meet on this subject are so sure what God is saying. They know where God is. That's pretty amazing to me. And when you read some other books, and the book I most highly recommend is this one called Stranger at the Gate. It comes from Matthew 25. I was a stranger and you did not welcome me. This author, I'm going to pass this around. This author Mel White, is a very well-known religious figure because we've read him, we've heard of him, because he was the writer for the following. Billy Graham, Pat Robertson, Jerry Falwell, Oliver North. He wrote what they said. He knows the Bible better than I will ever know it, and better than maybe some of you in this room. He just came out as a gay man about 4 years ago. He has 3 grown children, a wife of 25 years, and they're friends. When I lost it was when I read the foreword written by Lila, his wife, and what a fine man he was. And I just cried, because that hasn't been my experience. I have not known that kind of a spouse. But his witness is so amazing. It's not my story, it's his story, which is, what is it like to grow up gay in America as a conservative Christian? God and Jesus are at the center, at the core of his being. You got to read the book, because you can't believe the dissidence inside him, just the how he was pulled apart. It's just an amazing book of what it's like to grow up gay, because those that grew up another way can't. We know my experience from the day you're 3 years old. It's compelling. That book, my friends in Seattle, the gay and lesbian friends, get it. They don't eat, they don't sleep, they don't go to work until they finish it. It is the most compelling book they've ever read, because it's finally their story. And so Stranger at the Gate, I heartily recommend. In the back of the book, he has the letters written to Jerry Falwell, Pat Robertson, my friend Billy Graham, who I expected more of, and 5,000 pastors in Oregon for Amendment 9. And the responses he's gotten back, which is none. Billy Graham won't even write him. He said, well, can I talk to you? Can I see? We're friends. Remember when your daughter was sick and I was there? No. You are now a leper. You are now contaminant. That was my word. I'm now contaminant because I'm gay. Amazing story. A must read. Another one that is a great book is Living in Sin. But you're going to hear, he's a liberal.
That's the other elderly.
The other elderly, that's right. He's a liberal. I have a secret for you. So was Jesus. You think he was not a liberal in his day? L isn't big enough for what a liberal he was. This is a great book to read for all Americans on divorce, because those of us who have been through the harrowing experience, talks about divorce in a biblical. This man knows more about the Bible than any person who says they're a liberal. This is a bishop in the Episcopal Church. He knows his Bible. It's fabulous on divorce. It's fabulous on homosexuality. It's a very good book. If you read nothing else, read that book and this book, and then give them away. I get to go be at a conference with Mel White next week. It's a group of us called gays and lesbians. No, it's called Evangelicals Concerned. But what is it? Gays and lesbians. Who go under that name so we won't get Jerry Falwell coming and his little buddies. I need you. My kids need you. If 608 and 610 pass in this state, they're taken away from me. I've fought for 2.5 years. I've paid thousands of dollars to be their mother. I've never abused them. I've never hurt them in any way. But now I'm a contaminant because I'm their mother. I need you. They need you. It will be taken away. I'll be taken away. In fact, if I have 4 children, let's say you have 4 children, one of them is gay, 12-year-old, that 12-year-old will be taken from your household, or the other 3 children will be taken from your household, because you can't have anyone that's gay in a household because they'll contaminate it. That's what 610 says on the ballot in the state in November. My kids will be taken from me. This is a very long and complicated brochure. I want every one of you to read it and memorize it. I'm going to send it around. It's long. I don't know why this issue ignites such dynamite in people. I don't know. But it does. And I was walking down the corridor of a mall last weekend, with my 2 big friends, Pam and Pam, who are a couple that have been together for about 12 years, deeply committed Christians. They were teachers, you know. They were just loving, kind, gracious, fun, exactly the kind of kids people I want my kids around. And they say we recruit people. Oh yeah, that's what I do. You know, you really like it. You lose your friends, you lose your family, you lose your career in my case. You get hate letters. You love it. Come and join us. You know, be a homosexual. You know, we'll have a good time. See the world. Are you kidding me? You think people do this for fun? Oh, it's a fad now. Right, it's a fad now. Come through a couple days of my life. And I haven't had it that bad. I at least have my kids. Marguerite Kammermeier never had her kids. Never.
Some of the people here don't know who she is.
Marguerite Kammermeier, thank you so much. Forgive me. Marguerite Kammermeier is a woman who is in the National Guard. Colonel. And she's from the state of Washington. She is a person who has been known in the front page of magazines, at least in this state, who, because she was a lesbian and is a nurse in the military, was kicked out. And her children were taken away from her. You don't know that part, her 4 kids. And now she has a relationship with kids, but her kids are in their 20s. When she was growing up, when they were growing up, she had no contact. She could call them, she could see them occasionally. They did not live with her. How many are mothers here? Okay, I just want you to think about that. You have 4 kids. You can't be with them. You love them. Does she love her kids any less than you love your kids? No. Or, I just know my life and what it has been like for the last 2 years, just 2 years, without my kids. So we better find our voice like Isaiah. Because you have more clout than me. Because I'm defensive, I'm bitchy, it's too subjective for me. I become a mess over it because I think about my kids being ripped away from me. We're walking down the mall, Pam and me, and there's a person sitting, getting signatures for 608 and 610. And I said to Pam, if not now, when? If not us, who? Pam and Pam are just drop dead gorgeous. And don't you love all the stereotypes that we have? So I said, let's go over here and talk for a second. So they both smiled and said, okay, so we went over and we said, let's just go and inquire These are very bright women. So we go over and we just said, I'm thinking, peace I leave with you, peace. And there were two people sitting at the table. And as Pam said later, one of them was a couple fries short of her Happy Meal, I think. We said, what's 608 and 610 about? And they began to talk about special rights, equal rights. Pam and Pam have lost their profession because they're teachers. And they love each other. Run out of town. I've lost my profession because I'm a pastor. They're telling us, these two people, that we have special rights. And I said to her, ma'am, we are all lesbians here, the three of us. She looked up at us with this horror in her eyes. And then she didn't look at us. She refused to even look at me. And I said, all I said to her was, ma'am, every time you have someone sign this petition, I want you to remember this face. And here are the pictures of my children who will be taken away from me when this passes. If this passes, please just remember my face. Then I got so upset I had to leave. And by this time we have a crowd, and we have the security guard, and I'm a mess. And Pam and Pam, thank God, are just quietly talking about their experience. And I'm pacing and frothing at the mouth. But we could have easily walked by and not made a scene. Now, Rosa, if you would just calm down, it would be much better. Jesus wouldn't want us to incite people. There'll be pieces to pick up, Rosa. Oh no, not pieces to pick up. Do you think there were any pieces to pick up when Jesus left? Yeah, I think so. So don't cause a scene, Rosa. I don't know what you're supposed to do. I don't know. But I know I need you. I know Tyler and Bryn need you. I know that there are a lot of kids out there and families that will be greatly hurt if we pass all this legislation and if we don't stand up and say something to our Christian brothers and sisters who say, I know what the Bible says, and you say, me too. Matthew 25:37. And then you can get your doctoral thesis on what does Jesus say about it. People like Mel White say it better because they have it in their guts from the time they were born, and they just stand naked in front of God like David did and say, you don't create junk. In my heart, I have always loved, he says, men. I've been married. I've been faithful to my wife for 25 years, but I've always in my core loved men. I've wanted to be with a man, and he is now. The picture is in the middle of he and his partner. Just like when Connie gets off the bus in a half an hour, she's going to say, why is everyone staring at me? Well, honey, because I'm that homosexual in residence this week, and you just got off the boat, and now they want to see you. Oh. And she'll know the moment. They're all staring at me. Yeah. They are. Two books I was going to read today, but I'm frothing. This one is called Christina Katerina and the Time She Quit the Family. This is a great book. This is the funniest book. This is Bryn's favorite of the books that I read. And this is to me about the church. Because sometimes I just feel like throwing the towel in and saying, I've had enough. You know, I'm faithful. I go through all those hoops you want me to. I have a degree from Whitworth College and Princeton Seminary. I did it right. I have a summa cum laude. I'm no dummy. I can preach, I can teach, I've led many to Christ. I love a woman. I love Jesus, I love Connie, I love Tyler, I love Bryn. That's at my core. It's just the truth. Well, we don't want you anymore. Yesterday, a man sat in this Bible study in the corner over there, and he was in his 70s, and he kept smiling. And he really gave me support when I told you who I was, and it was scary to do, because it's pretty a vulnerable place. And at the end, he came up to me, and he said, "I'm a retired Lutheran bishop, and I was thinking what I'd do with you if you were in my parish." Or in my, what's it called, group of Lutheran churches, synod. And he said, "I would hate to do it, but I wouldn't let you stay because that's the church rules, and I have to enforce the church rules." And Connie says to me, "Why do we stay in the church?" And I say, "Because it's the body of Christ." And she says, "Don't confuse church with God." That's what she always says. That's her sermon that I get to hear. And I say, yeah, but it's all I have. I love the saying that the real proof of God's mercy is the church is still on earth. Because we've blotched up so many things already. She still loves us enough to let us survive. It's a personal issue for you because you know someone that's gay. I know you do. Some of your kids are gay. It's a personal issue because the body of Christ has AIDS. And if there is a least of these in the world, it's the AIDS victim. AIDS is going to ravage this earth in the next 25 years, more than it already has. Africa is going to be the worst devastated. The gay community is already ripped to shreds. I wonder if when Bach was alive, or Beethoven, or Mozart, or Renoir, or any of these people, if AIDS would have been around, would we have Vienna art museums? Because these were artists, and many of them gay. It's a personal issue for me, and therefore it's a personal issue for you. And so if you don't know anyone else, you remember my face, and Tyler and Bryn's face, and I invite you to find your voice. It's hard in the beginning. But then when you stand up and just speak the truth from your guts, because you know Jesus Christ, and say, you know, I don't think hate really is anywhere in the Bible. And I guess when it's against a group of people, I don't see Jesus there. I'm here all day today and tomorrow until the boat. I will answer any question. There's going to be forums all day today. There are people here whose children have died of AIDS. There are people here who have children and family members who are gay and lesbian. Lots of them, because it's 10%. I want to tell you something that helps me the most, because I never was attracted to women in my life until I met Connie. That's just my story. And there's this guy named, is it a guy, Kinsey? Who's Kinsey? What's, is it a male?
Yeah.
A Kinsey male?
Yeah.
Kinsey scale. Kinsey scale says this. In the world of people, there are ones and there are sevens, and there's the spectrum between. Ones are hopelessly heterosexual. That's about 10% of them. 10% are hopelessly heterosexual. Down here, percent are sevens. That's hopelessly homosexual. Okay, now, probably you don't have your doctorate in math, but what does that leave?
80%.
All right.
In between.
That means 80%. And so I guess I'm in the 80%. I don't know where I am. I'm somewhere there. And so am I bisexual? I don't know. So what will you be when Connie dies?
Lonely.
Sad.
Lonely.
I'll be sad. Let's put everyone in a compartment. They're a Christian. They're a lesbian. They're a lesbian. Did you know she's a lesbian? All lesbians wear brown Birkenstocks. The closet's in a rotten place. The people I know who have come out of the closet have lost their jobs. They've lost their families. They've lost their church. So why do you always talk about it? Why do you need to talk about it? Do you talk about your family? Do you talk about your kids? Do you talk about your grandkids? Golly, I kind of want to talk about my family too, but until 3 years ago, Connie didn't, because she didn't want to lose her job. And now if you go into her office, she has a picture of the fam on the desk. And the people that work for her and work with her, she has Bryn's artwork. Did you have a child? Well, I do now. I have a daughter and a son now. And we said to Tyler and Bryn, Connie said, do you want me to call you Catherine's daughter or my daughter? Connie, don't you want us to be your daughter and son? Well, yeah. Well, then call us your daughter and son. Okay. And when we left our community in Seattle to go to Gig Harbor, Rich and Peter, our dear friends who are a gay couple, been together 14 years. I just am saying this so you'll get that. All gay and lesbian people do not go around. Many are committed for life, just like you. I haven't been promiscuous. Just, you know, our communities are more promiscuous than your community. Rich and Peter and Connie and I go places and we look like, oh, there's two nice white straight couples. Now, wait a minute. Wasn't she with him a few nights ago? And now they're, that's confusing. What's going on? When we moved to Gig Harbor to be with the kids from Seattle, Rich said, why are you moving? And I said, well, I think it was Connie. Connie said, so we can be with the kids. Our need to be with the kids. I have a need to be with them as much as they have a need to be with me. And Rich said this. What about our need to be with your kids? Mm-hmm. Because the gay community doesn't have a lot of kids. And they're wild about my kids. I was real worried when I made this huge choice in my life. My kids would be left out because all our friends wouldn't have kids. Are you kidding me? At their graduation from high school, there will be this huge community of people who don't have kids. So I was wrong on most everything about the gay and lesbian community. Wrong, wrong, wrong. So, I want to quit the church and I never will. The second book that I was going to read was this one called Grandfather Four Winds and Rising Moon about the Native Americans, because that's another travesty that we need to work on and be honest about. These will be in the resource room today. I'm talking a lot, and I'm sorry. All day you can ask questions. I'm preaching tonight. And I would love to sit down with you. If you could give Connie and me a few minutes, I haven't seen her in 8 days, and I'd like to talk to her, but she would answer questions too. And there are many others around here who are gay and lesbian. But they don't have it on their lapel like you do. I'm head high. I'm Candace, I'm a heterosexual. Nice to meet you. All I am is a Christian who loves Jesus. and wants to follow my calling. And I'm having a dickens of a time figuring out how to do that. You could pray. Libby is going to close us with a great song about America. And it's patriotic in the best term, best sense of the word. But it talks about, it's quick, so you have to listen real quick. It talks about what we do to our Marthas. If you raise little girls in shopping malls with Barbie dolls, what happens, and to our little boys. And it talks about South Africa. And it talks about finding a voice and the great commandment. And it talks about doing something. And I want to end with that, and then we'll pray. And forgive me for not taking questions, but you're welcome to ask them of me and others all day. And I send you home with this ringing in your ears. I need you. Jesus needs you. Speak out. Watched all this with great interest. And he said to Connie, well, last time we were down visiting, so what can I do to Connie? Connie said, well, you can go call your senator and you can tell him you're a Christian and that you vote no on 608 and 610 because you're a Christian. And Dad says, well, I'm going to tell him I'm a Republican.
Republican, too. Fine, Dad, whatever. Let's pray. Dear God, it takes a long time to unlearn what we were taught so well about prejudice and the way people are. And God, help us be willing to open up the closets and clean out the junk in them. Thank you for this place. Thank you for Holden Village. Thank you for it being a safe place for my family to come and to love Jesus. Thank you for these people and for their openness to look at scripture and other people that are different than they are and life. And God, like Isaiah, touch our lips with a coal of fire. Help us to dare to speak out. And God, help us to love you with our heart and soul and mind and our neighbors as ourselves. In the name and the power of Jesus, we pray. And all the people said,
Amen.
Have a great day.